Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As Paul has indicated, I'm going to give you a sort of two presentations. I hope you're going to find it a little bit of a change in pace, in the sense that I'm going to deal with some very fundamental and very important issues that I find are not that widely understood and frequently overlooked in the whole area of business improvement. A little bit of context: I'm actually a civil engineer by training, and I set out 24 years ago to, quote, bring the disciplines of engineering to the IT industry, which basically looks like if you go to an engineer to design a bridge, you get the bridge that you asked for and it stands up, which is more than you can say for a lot of business improvement projects, and particularly ERP and business systems project, which is my sort of stomping ground. So starting off with the ASCO case study, African Sales Company, we're just going to go through a little bit of an overview. I met Robert Prebratch, who regrettably is not here today, who's the managing director and major shareholder of ASCO, about 5-6 years ago. I was lecturing on a program at Gibbs, and he was one of the students. And he came up to me afterwards and said, look, I've got this ERP implementation, it's stalled, and I'm looking to turn it into a strategic weapon, his language. And so I'm going to tell you how we actually did that and the fact that we actually did, in fact, succeed in creating that strategic resource. We'll look at a few challenges, we'll talk about the opportunity, we'll talk about the solution, and we'll look at the outcome. African Sales, you may know them. They're a moderate size, family-owned business, import and distribute fine fragrances, some household names and really prestigious brands that you'll recognize there, and to vendors that you'll all recognize. They do that to very high levels of service. I think it's 97% delivery within 3 days. They maintain fairly high levels of inventory. And it's really important in the context of this presentation to understand that there are two arms or two legs, whatever you want to call it, to the business. One is the import and distribution of these fragrances and associated products, and the other side of the business is brand management. So they get a percentage from the overseas principals, which allows them to run their distribution service, and they get another percentage which they have to manage very tightly for brand management. So they have to come up at the beginning of every financial year for the different principals with a 12-month product marketing plan, etc. So at the time that I got involved, they had what's euphemistically referred to as a legacy system, a piece of custom software that was about 20 years old. It had gone the route that so much in-house custom software does. It had been run on the smell of an oil rag for many years. The developer was older than I am today, and seriously sort of looking as though he wasn't going to be around a lot longer. And so they found themselves in a situation where they needed to replace their system fairly urgently. They went to the market, they picked a particular ERP. Oh, by the way, they were, I'm getting a bit of ahead of myself here, that they were managing their brand marketing costs within excess of 20,000 accounts in the general ledger. The general ledger was a monster, and it wasn't working very well. A lot of the rest of what they were doing with regard to brand management was entirely manual. tracking their costs, reporting to their principals was very much a hit and miss affair. if we look at the opportunity, they had purchased, not running, an integrated suite of ERP and warehouse management system product. They had undertaken a very lengthy workflow analysis process with flowcharts, etc., in a lever arch file that literally was about that thick. However, the project was completely stalled. It was going nowhere. It had gone nowhere for some months. And one of my areas of endeavor is ERP project turnaround. So my brief was turn this project around, get it going, and deliver a high-value outcome. We restarted the project with myself in a project leader capacity with a very strong strategic and precision configuration focus. And I'm going to explain what I mean by precision configuration in a few minutes. And I'm going to explain what I mean by strategic, which I guess you all thought you understood right now. But I'm going to hopefully unpack some deeper insight into this concept of strategy and strategic a little bit later in my second presentation. We put in place some very tight project management. We set ourselves a five-month deadline, and we really climbed in and started making things happen. One of the things that I insist on, if I do a project of this nature, in fact, it's something that I insist on pretty much in any situation, and I touched on it during yesterday's discussion session, is a very high level of executive custody. So what executive custody looked like in this particular instance was that every day I was on site, I stuck my head round Robert's door in the morning and touched base with him, and when I left, before I left in the afternoon, I stuck my head round his door again and touched base with him. I pulled him into as many workshops as I thought were necessary. And something that many people will find a little bit scary is I CC'd him with every single project email for 5 months. The bottom line was he knew exactly what was going on in the project. He took the trouble and the time every morning at some time before 8 o'clock in the morning to go through all the emails that he'd been copied with the day before and comment in on an informed basis and engage where necessary. Now, you might say that is totally, totally over the top, James. I do this with most clients, by the way. But the net effect is that the chief executive knows what's going on. It becomes his project or her project. They own it and they give direction. This is just one of those little tips that maybe you'll find useful. When you build a building, you can drive past the construction site and literally in the blink of an eye, you'll see whether you're getting the building that you asked for and how it's progressing. Would you agree with me? It takes you roughly 30 seconds in driving past a construction site to see whether you're getting something that looks like the picture on the billboard. And so the average chief executive who's building a new building will probably drive past the construction site once or twice a month on their way to or from work or a meeting with a client or whatever, and say, that's it. What they told me last week in terms of progress, etc., I can see for myself it's happening. One of the huge things about any form of business improvement, and particularly business systems, ERP systems, is that what you are doing is almost totally invisible. You have this team of consultants, outside experts, which may be one individual, it might be a whole army of individuals. And you walk past a room and you see them at their notebooks beavering away and you see them in workshops. But if you're the chief executive, have you got a clue what's going on? Have you got a clue whether what's being done is what you bought? And then one day, you're called to some meeting, and shazam, here's this thing. And you say, my goodness gracious me, what on earth are these people thinking? Or else you're too embarrassed to admit that you haven't had a clue what's going on, so you just pretend that it's fine because you don't actually know what's happening. If you copy, there's a bit more to it than just copying the chief executive with emails, just by the way. You need to build a relationship with that executive, whether it's the chief executive. If you're doing business improvement in the finance area or the operations area, then substitute chief financial officer, chief operating officer for what I'm saying here. But at the end of the day, you need to have somebody who acts as a translator, because it is not the responsibility of the business person to understand what the technologists are doing, whether those are BPM technologists or ERP technologists or whatever methodologists or technologists. It's our responsibility to speak to the business people in language that they can understand. Once you do that, once you equip and empower them to have meaningful conversations, and you engage with them continuously and regularly, and you then copy them with the emails, set up a separate email address for them, set up some inbox rules in Outlook or whatever email client you're using, and just let all of those emails end up in a separate folder, and say to the person concerned, please take 5 minutes every morning or every evening just to run your eye down the subject lines. And if something engages your interest, just drill down. And if anything concerns you, please let me know. All we're doing, folks, is in a completely unrelated way enabling that executive to see how the building is progressing, how it's being built. So we did all of those things. Robert was an amazing client to work with. I guess it happens when it's your own business, you really do engage. That said, the level of engagement was superb. So the result was he got exactly what he wanted. And the thing to remember there also, that as advisors, because ultimately that's what the word consultant means, doesn't it? Somebody who advises, who consults to, who shares knowledge and expertise. The reason we get brought in is because we have something in our heads that the people in the business don't have. If they had it in their heads, they wouldn't bring us in. So the key thing is to provide this advisory service. So your executive will have a business problem. It's our job to interpret how we fulfill that business need. It's our job to deliver a solution that meets that business need. And as I'm going to show you in a couple of minutes, that may involve doing things that the executive had never thought of doing. One of the key things that we identified, or that I identified early on in this project, was that there was a real need to improve the way that this thing called brand management was done. Aha, I hear you cry, BPM. Well, those of you who heard me speak last year will know that I'm a bit of a BPM whatever. And if you heard me speak yesterday afternoon, you might have got the same message. I don't think that there's a label other than business improvement. What we should be doing is improving the business. What we should be doing is helping the business to create competitive advantage. And I think we have to be very careful about how we language that. Because consultants are very good at coming up with acronyms and labels and buzzwords and slides with lots of detail on. And frankly, most of the time we lose the client. And the interesting thing about clients is that once they've engaged you, they really don't want to look stupid. So you can very easily get into a situation where they say, yes, yes, way to go. And meantime, they're thinking, I must be an idiot. This doesn't make any sense to me. The problem is that the statistics indicate that about 70% of the time they're actually right. So one of the things you need to get good at is making sense to the client. And if once you've made sense to the client says, you know what, this is not what I want, you've got to get good at course correcting. So we identified that this brand management, budgeting, and expense allocation was a key thing. And that just came out of a very simple problem statement. If we project forward using the model we're using at the moment, we'll have about 40,000 brand line relevant expense accounts in the general ledger, and the general ledger is already a humongous monster that we can't manage, and that's just really not the way to do it. And furthermore, we do brand management on a project basis. So that was the problem statement. Nothing dramatic. So how did we solve that? I have to mention at this point that after I started the project and they proudly presented me with this thick file of flowcharts, I thanked them very much and took it and put it on the shelf after I'd flipped through it for about 5 seconds. Because guess what? If you do not personally engage with the creation of a document or pack of documents like that, it is almost impossible subsequently to make sense of it. Because the reality is that what's on the piece of paper is only a fraction of what's in the head of the person that facilitated. So one of the things that I advise clients when I'm advising them with regard to procurement of professional services is that one of your contractual terms is, number one, don't introduce me to any consultant who will not work directly on my project. I don't want to buy you because I'm impressed with Joe when Joe will never set foot on my project. And number two, lock your consultants in for the duration of the project. So I advise clients to sign a contract which says, only introduce me to people who will work on my project and will be there for the duration. Otherwise, I don't want to meet them. Because in the first few days, weeks, or months of a new engagement with a new service provider, you are paying the consulting firm to learn about your business. Most of what is gained during a traditional process documentation exercise is that hopefully, by the time you've finished, the consulting team understand your business. If you then take those people away, or as it happened in this case, the lady concerned decided that she had a better job offer in Richards Bay, and she preferred Richards Bay to Johannesburg, and just upsticks and left, all the knowledge of the business walked away with her. So they put some other new project manager in charge, and the poor girl didn't have a hope because she didn't have the insight that the colleague who had left had. So I didn't do any process mapping, either as is or to be. I have to confess that in something like 28 years of doing business improvement and business change and ERP implementation and ERP turnaround, I can't even draw a flowchart, let alone make sense of one. And I think they are totally irrelevant to 95% of what you do. And I'm going to talk for the balance of my time on the platform about the things that I think are really important. So we're going to get on to the end of those now. You've probably been looking at that and saying, a highly structured product class, integration with a projects module, and custom software. What's that got to do with this thing called business process management? Well, at one level, it's got absolutely nothing to do with business process management because this doesn't fall within the domain of what most people regard as BPM. And on the other hand, it has everything to do with business process management if our goal is business improvement and business optimization. And I have to suggest for your consideration, based on doing what I'm going to show you now for 26 years, and having seen consistently over the years the huge value and the huge benefit that is unlocked over what I'm about to show you, that if you are implementing any form of computerized system, and you don't take account of what I'm about to show you, you are going to seriously shortchange the client. And on the other side, if you really get what I'm about to show you, you can add huge value to the client for a relatively modest investment. So we developed something called a brand hierarchy. The ERP concerned had a product master file, as pretty much every ERP does, and it had a product class or product classification, which is directly comparable to your item class or your materials group or whatever it is in whatever ERP you're talking about. But every ERP has a master file in which you put stuff, whether that stuff is product, whether that stuff is assets. Depending on the product, you will have a product stroke item stroke materials master file that's got stuff in it. And associated with that, you will have something called a class or group as a drop-down list on the master record. So we developed in this product class field something that we came to call the brand hierarchy, and I'll show you what that looks like in a moment. We then added a range of fundamental product attributes to the product master, and in fact, as I'll show you in a few minutes, to some other tables in the system. That allowed us to create a piece of custom software that allowed us to do very intelligent master file maintenance, which resulted in very high quality master data. We then used all of that intelligence to create a rule-based piece of software to generate marketing projects for every brand line across the enterprise. Those together created a holistic and intelligent integrated information platform which has delivered huge benefit to the business and has supported growth and increased competitiveness. So let's get down to some nitty-gritty. One of the custom attributes that we added to the master file was this thing that we called the product category. It's a hierarchical classification of products. And you will notice there that it has a code, and some people will tell you it's Windows, it's graphical, you don't need codes, codes are passé. And I have to say to you, no, because computers only understand codes, computers can't do anything sensible with that language. The language is for the human being, the codes are for the computer. You'll notice some conventions there, capitalization of category headings, trailing periods, which make it very easy to pull that data into Excel and with a couple of mouse clicks filter on the dots in the code position. It's a one-line SQL query. And so suddenly I can start rolling up my data. We get so stuck on slice and dice and drill down and roll up. And we think it's a technology. Well, it was a technology issue about 30 years ago. For the last 30 years, that hasn't been a technology issue, it's a data issue. Here I have roll up to visibly on this display three headings, and I have drill down to the next level of detail, and I have a gap coded code structure which gives me space for growth. Very, very simple. Took a couple of hours to put that together. Huge, huge strategic value in terms of your ability to analyze your data in a structured way. This is the thing I touched on a minute ago, the brand hierarchy. So we have Coty Prestige, which is one of the big international suppliers of fragrances, etc. And we drill down to individual brand lines, which is like Cool Water Wave, which is something that you will go into Edgar's and find a selection of little boxes on a shelf with that particular branding. Again, notice it's hierarchical. Notice the capitalization of the headings, the proper casing of the posting level items, the mnemonic codes. Very easy to remember, very easy to use, very easy to roll up your entire product database on a supplier level, on a brand level. We then built some software. Here you see that same brand hierarchy now in a more Windows look and feel with a little piece of custom software. And what this particular screen shows us is the piece of software which has intelligence and knowledge of the coding convention and the rules and allows us to add new brand lines, new brands, new suppliers, and cascade down default values all the way down. So I can set up for Yves Saint Laurent the default parameters for all Yves Saint Laurent products, and I can drive it all the way down to Yves Saint Laurent Kouros so that when I add a product under that brand line, 80% of my master data is predefined and all the fields that are irrelevant. Because remember, when you talk about a product master file, you will typically have between 100 and 500 parameters available. Some of the big brand ERPs, you'll go to 10, 20, 30 default screens, which have got all sorts of stuff which is totally irrelevant to perfume and which totally confuses operators, and which operators accidentally, if they're not properly trained, put values in. Huge mess. So what we did was we built the intelligence in there so that when we added products, we only had to capture those handful of fields. And based on that product category, we knew whether it was a volumetric measure, we knew whether it was a weight measure, or we knew whether it was a units measure, etc. And so we created this little piece of software which was highly intelligent, and we took the user-defined fields like the product category that I just showed you, and we moved them right to the beginning of the population of the master data so we could build some intelligence onto the remaining tabs so that the person capturing master data was only prompted for exactly the data that was relevant. Now, in some ERPs, you don't need to go to this trouble. They've got all sorts of fancy functionality that allow you to build custom definition and hide fields and have rules, entry processes and exit processes. But I have to say to you that if you're in the real world and you have even a moderate-sized product master or item master or material master, and you do not have highly structured classifications such as I've just shown you, you will struggle to make this fancy technology work for you. Now, one of the interesting things that I've discovered over the last few years is that the big brand ERP vendors and implementers do not actually know how to implement their software to its full potential. Check it out. So what we then did was we took the projects module. Now you may ask me, what has the projects module got to do with the product master file? In general, absolutely nothing. So much so that when I went to the implementers and told them what I wanted to do, they looked at me as though I was crazy and told me it was impossible, so I had to go and find somebody who didn't think I was crazy. What we did was we added another piece of functionality to that custom software, which allowed us to auto-generate projects right down to the brand line level with a hierarchy there of 29 different expense codes. And so we took the 30 or 40 or 50,000 accounts out of the general ledger and we put them in projects, because brand management really is a project-based activity. So we created this humongous framework of projects down to the individual brand line. Wham! At the touch of a button every year, the brand managers can go into their projects and set up their budget. We're going to have a promotion in June, and that's going to cost us so much in airfares and so much in television marketing, etc. Everything associated with marketing is posted to a project, and there, from there, through into the general ledger. Slight deviation. When I got there, this is what they had for credit note reason code. So this is a completely different aspect, but it's an extension of the previous point. That doesn't look too bad. Why would we give a credit note? Incorrect price, damaged goods, incorrectly supplied. Looks okay, doesn't it? Those are the reasons that the chief executive thinks that they can give credit notes. Now, what I would ask you to notice, because this principle applies no matter what we're talking about, if my ERP looks like that, and I want to know that I gave a credit note, how many credit notes did I give because the customer was not a franchise holder? Guess what? I go to my ERP, I do an inquiry, I pull the data, probably into Excel, unless I've invested in some very fancy technology, and I pay a senior person to sit there for a couple of days in order to answer the question, how many credit notes did we give because the customer was not a franchise holder? If I have that in my ERP, it's a one-line SQL query. What you're seeing here is a manifestation of one of the biggest problems with business systems, ERP, in the world. And that is summed up by something I hear repeatedly and regularly from executives. Dr. Robertson, I have spent millions and I cannot get the answers I want to my questions. The data looks like that. I don't have to hear anymore, because I know when I go and look at their data, it'll look like that. Because if it looks like that, they will have the answer to every question they will ever think to ask about the reasons they give credit notes. And if you come up with a new one, it's structured in such a way that you can easily add a new item. So what was the outcome? Greatly improved expense allocation accuracy, detailed return on investment analysis in terms of looking, because now you've got a direct correlation in your data, no manual intervention required. How much did I spend marketing this brand, and what happened to my sales? Absolutely direct correlation. Result was increased competitiveness. Part of the reason that Robert is not here today is that he's busy with one of the top international brands in the world, who he was able to secure recently as a customer, or as a supplier and customer, because it's a kind of a two-way street in this case, because he could do something that nobody else in the world can do. It's allowed informed allocation of resources. It's facilitated growth, They're busy now with the design of a massively bigger distribution center because the existing distribution center can't cope with the volumes. And I don't want to say to you that it's all because of what we're looking at here. We're talking about an executive who knows where he's going, who's very focused, who's very creative, and really understands his product and his markets very well. But this has enabled him to raise his game significantly. One of the things that he said to me when I spent time with him preparing this paper and this presentation, he said, James, we have developed a highly analytical culture. We understand everything about what's going on in our business, and we have the reports and the data to back it up. And his words, it's positioned ASCO as an industry leader in the management of information and therefore brand management. Their ways of working have changed dramatically. Processes, if you will. But the interesting thing about it is that we never, ever took that file off the shelf, and at the end of the project, I turned to the managing director of the implementation company and said, would you care to tell me how this file assisted in the outcome? And he kind of looked at me dumbfounded and said, no, it didn't. The process improvement, the improvement in the ways of working, happened organically through an executive team who were empowered by quality information, carefully aligned with the way they did business. And it created a culture of continuous improvement, which is with them to today. And there's a huge point that so many people in this business process field, IT field, ERP field, lose sight of. The most important thing is enabling people to make better strategic decisions. Give them the right information at the right time in order to make the right decision. If you don't get that right at the strategic executive level, it doesn't really matter what else you do, you will shortchange the business. I'm not saying that all of the other things that are talked about should not be done. I am saying that they must take place within a context of the things that I've just talked about and the things that I'm about to talk about. So to sum up, we had a very high level of executive custody. And folks, if you've never worked with a project like with that level of executive custody, you will not know what an exhilarating experience it is. I really encourage you, those of you who are service providers, to learn how to do that. You're very welcome to email me. I'll send you a few articles around it. And if you're a client organization and you want to get that, talk to me as well, and we can talk a bit about how you do that as well. Our focus was creating a strategic weapon. It was as simple as that. It was enabled by structured precision configuration and a little bit of custom software. There were huge benefits. Bill Gates has said that if you learn something new and you don't act on it within 48 hours, you probably never will. So please take a moment right now and write down what's top of mind for you in terms of what is the most important insight you've got in the last 40 minutes or so, and what is the single most practical action that you can take when you get back to the office out of what you've learned from me today. Just take a minute or two and jot that down, please.